sugar, and spice. But we don't play nice. Welcome to Not Your Player 2.
Brought to you by Checkpoint XP.
With your host, Christine Kuki Solis.
You don't like it? Get better.
And Sarah Skopic.
Is this easy mode?
We don't just play as your healers. We play it all.
Welcome to Not Your Player 2 podcast, brought to you by Checkpoint XP and Beasley XP of Beasley Media Group. I'm your host, Christine Solis, a.k.a. Cookie, and I am also joined by my co-host, Sarah Skopic. How are you doing, Sarah?
Doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing good as well. Thank you so much. We record and stream live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Usually it's on Friday nights at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Today it's actually Sunday due to PAX East. We were going to have Robbie and Norris take over our stream so they can record from PAX East, but there was some technical difficulties, so we apologize for that. Yeah, sadness. But still, we will be back on our regular time this coming Friday. So join us again at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. It is an interactive show, so when we see your comments in the chat, we will pick it out and say it out on our podcast. Anyway, so coming up later on the show, a discussion of women in gaming versus women on gaming panels. But first, we got your latest gaming news. Last week, yeah, it is last week already, Apple Arcade was announced by Apple. It's going to be a game subscription service that will have over 100 new and exclusive games, including big names such as, oh my gosh, I cannot say this name.
Hironobu Sakaguchi?
Yes, thank you. He is the creator of Final Fantasy, the original Final Fantasy. The games could be played across iPhone, iPad, Mac, Apple TV. And Apple also revealed that the games can be played offline, which is different from the Google Stadia, where the Google Stadia says, well, we were kind of like, can you still play the games offline? Probably not. Apple Arcade is going to be available later this fall. Are you interested in Apple Arcade?
Well, here's the problem. I don't really use like any Apple products except for iTunes, because I started iTunes before there was anything else of its kind. Now I wish I don't have iTunes, but I've never been an Apple person. So the problem is that like I don't have an iPhone, I don't have an iPad, I don't use a Mac, I certainly don't have an Apple TV. So this is a little bit harder for me because like I don't use any of those products, and this isn't going to really make me use those products. I definitely, of course, like this idea of being able to, you know, almost kind of like get a gaming subscription. But once again, I kind of like with the Stadia, we're now getting to a weird time where it's going to be less of a console war and more of like a NPC war.
Weird, you know, streaming
like
war,
PC
yeah.
It's no longer its own thing. It's now going to be things within PC. We already had like Epic versus Steam, but now we're going to have like Apple versus Google. One thing I will say, and again, not an Apple user, but one thing I have to say that is good about this is for a very long time, there were so many PC games that Apple users couldn't even play, or Mac users couldn't even play.
Right.
And so I think this will be good for those people. I mean, I'm definitely more of a PC Microsoft Android user, but that's okay. So I don't know. It's hard because I think it was definitely with the Google Stadia coming out, it was only a matter of time with Apple coming forward with something.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's just like, oh, more exclusivity. I'm not a huge exclusivity person.
Yeah, so I'm in the same boat as you. I don't have any Apple products. I'm more Android, but I only use iTunes, so that's as much as I can get. The only problem is this reminds me of, like, you remember the Ouya console where it's supposed to be, like, kind of streaming games as well. I don't think this will do well as, like, the Ouya. But I'm more of a console person, too, so I'm dedicated to PlayStation, so I don't think I'll go into this. I do, however, want to play the Sakaguchi game, Fantasia, just because I'm a Final Fantasy fan.
That's just hard, because he no longer does the modern Final Fantasy games,
no.
Right? He kind of dropped off of that.
Yeah, he dropped off it, so. Oh, well, I'll see if I can, like, borrow my brother's iPhone or something for that,
exactly.
for that game. Selfane in the chat says the screens are just too small for him to play on a mobile device, so. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
But mobile gaming's up there.
Yeah, I will say it's cool that it seems like they're going to make their games be able to be accessible in all these platforms, which the iPhone is pretty different from the Mac. So they must be, that's gotta be a nightmare for programming, but at the very least, that is kind of a cool function, being able to play the same game across all of your, you know, Apple devices. So yeah. I will have to give them props for that. I think for an Apple user, this is probably a really cool thing. I just have no connection nor any desire to connect with it.
Yeah. And all those memes about playing games on a Mac. No bueno. So a couple weeks ago, we praised the all-female NASA spacewalk. Sarah just sent me a message 4 days just before the walk that the walk was canceled. And why? Because they didn't have enough spacesuits for the women. Like, what the heck?
So here are the details. Obviously, from the surface, this sounds horrible. Basically, what happened was the two ladies who were supposed to be part of this. We had Anne McClain and Christina Koch. Who were supposed to be part of it, and they apparently have the exact same size of spacesuit that works best for them, and there's only one available.
Oh, geez.
So it's not that the ladies are not going to be able to do the spacewalks at all. They're just going to be basically in two different teams of it, which of course have men. So instead of an all-female, it's going to be, you know, them with another person and the other with another person. I'm not going to decry, like, sexism, but this is just kind of silly, because it was like, it's just really bad publicity, honestly, because they showed this off, it was super cool, you know, and then all of a sudden this happened, something that you would think they would have looked into
before,
way ahead of time.
Right.
You know, like, your spacesuit is so, it's not like clothes, like, your spacesuit is vital to your mission. Your safety, being part of NASA, you would think that was one of the very first things they look into, you know, right after they chose who's going to be part of it. So, again, I'm not saying, like, NASA's suddenly sexist. This was just very weird planning, and just, it's just going to blow, it's just kind of bad. It's just bad publicity.
So, I'm just saying, like, so the people who were on spacewalks, or whoever was on space before, they were all different sizes. I mean, like, why wouldn't you have two?
That's another thing that makes no sense, right? You're like, wait, what do you mean? Like, with one size for a different, like, what? And that's another thing that's, unfortunately, what this does probably reveal, which has some inherent aspects to it, is the fact they probably just don't have enough more female, like, look. Every female, of course, has different bodies, as we know, but probably, they probably weren't really, you know, looking at to those sizes as much. It's like when you go to the store and they only have, like, all size smalls and you need a medium kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know. And so that into itself is very bizarre. It's like, what do you mean you only have one of this size? Like, obviously they're custom made, I imagine. But again, what?
You know, it also costs money to make those spacesuits, probably.
It does. And like I said, I'm not trying to decry, you know, whatever. But it's just weird and it's uncomfortable and yikes. You guys should have thought this sooner.
Did they say they were postponing the trip for the y'all?
Basically, from what I read, the two ladies are basically the main issue was that the suits, they just can't get two of, like, another of that made in time. So what they're basically, basically, what they're doing is, like, the first spacewalk on March 22nd will be with Anne McClain, but then with a different astronaut, Nick Hugg. I'm not sure I pronounced his name. Sorry. And then it looks like Christina's not doing a spacewalk. It just looks like McClain's doing two, which
Boo.
Is kind of bizarre. But I don't know. That might change. Yeah, that's just based on what I'm reading here. Right. So, I'm sorry. Okay. So there's one on, I just misread. The one on March 29th Christina will be wearing it. And then, like, there's going to be one earlier on the 22nd, McClain will wear it. And then I think she's doing it again. So they'll each be able to, but they won't be together. That's the problem.
Got it. Esports Camp has teamed up with UCI, that's the University of California, Irvine, and Riot Games to make a girl gaming camp for girls interested in getting into esports. This event is the first of its kind and will span over May 4th and 5th. May the 4th be with you. Workshops include game design and marketing by Riot staff and general physical and psychological tips for esports training. Can I say, how awesome is this, having an esports camp at Riot Games, of all things?
I know. This is so cool. I'm so jealous. It's a 2-day program. Mainly the first day is kind of where they get the meat of everything they need. The second day you get, like, headshots, and I think there's a little bit of, like, a almost like I don't know what they called it. I'm in the theater world, so I call them auditions. But basically, you know, seeing
promos, kind of thing.
It's cast, yeah, that kind of stuff. And so, It's just really, yeah, it's really cool. I will say that there's a little bit, I imagine Riot is doing everything they can right now to look good for female users. Right,
exactly. They need this.
They need this right now. It's a little ironic, but I'm sure they were jumping at that to get some better marketing for them. But it's still just really cool. You know, they kind of, it's very, you know, all together, lots of meet and greets, but also just learning stuff. And yes, physical and psychological training. That's what it says.
Yeah, that's very interesting. You can't get the toxicity into your mind here. So I like that. And also props to UCI. We've worked with them last October when we went out for a campus tour. So props again.
Yes.
Last week, we gave UK the great news of a free game development camp by Girls Make Games and Media Molecule. This week, we got to give more props to Girls Make Games because they get to go to Nintendo headquarters.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
All right. They've already worked with PlayStation and Xbox before, so now they have a summer camp at Nintendo. It'll be from July 8th through the 26th in Redmond, Washington, of course. And this is for girls ages 8 to 17, which is awesome because you got teenagers, high schoolers can go to Nintendo and work with Girls Make Games. Nintendo will also be giving out scholarship opportunities. So this, again, Girls Make Games, more props to you. I'm really, really jealous.
So jealous. It's not even funny. I would have, if I had known about this when I was at this age, I would have begged my mom to have me go.
Right.
And we probably would have figured out a way to make it happen. I mean, you get to go to, which is kind of cool. But like, I am so jealous and I'm so excited that this is a thing, that they're doing. And I'm really, really hoping that this will make a really positive impact on just, you know, the marketing when it comes to hiring, you know, ladies to help make games and stuff and helping be less of a boys only club and stuff like
that. Right. Exactly. And girls, just make sure to ask your parents. There is tuition fees involved. So check it out and let us know if you do go.
Oh my gosh. Let us know. I want to know all about it. Give me pictures. Just tell me everything.
With the success of Nintendo's NES and SNES mini classics, I'm not sure I can say success with the PlayStation Classic. I do have one.
Yeah.
I know. Sega announced they will be releasing the Sega Genesis mini classic on September 19th of this year. It will come with 40 games, two wire controllers, and it'll cost you around $80, and you can pre-order it today. They've announced the first 10 games, so were you a Sega Genesis fan?
I never got into it. My first gaming console is a PlayStation 1, so a little later.
Okay, so Sega Genesis, they've announced Echo the Dolphin.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
See, I know that game. I never played it, but it became infamous.
I know, right? Castlevania Bloodlines, which is kind of makes sense. They have the remaster of the Castlevania. They're actually coming out on PS4 too, but they don't have Bloodlines, so this would probably be a reason to get the Genesis Mini. Space Harrier 2, I don't have any experience with that one.
I don't know.
Shining Force. That's a big one. I know.
I love Shining Force.
Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, which I would play. It's a puzzle game. I know. Toe Jam and Earl, which is cool because the remastered version, or not a remastered, they rebooted Toe Jam and Earl. Didn't you play that?
I played it recently.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually. One of the live streams that Joe and I did together, we did. I was playing that game, so yes, I am familiar.
So maybe it might be a reason to play the original one. Comic Zone, I don't know, but I know it's probably one of the popular games. Sonic the Hedgehog, even more popular.
Dang.
Altered Beast, I played. I'm actually interested in playing this one. And Gunstar Heroes, I don't have any experience with that one. So far the lineup is looking good. We got 30 more games to be announced. Are you going to be purchasing one of this?
I don't participate much with the reboots, I have to admit. And I probably should, because a lot of these were just games I never had experience, had exposure to. But it's, I don't know. I'm usually a little bit more, I get less attached to my nostalgia and more about the new stuff, except for Crash Team Racing. I got excited when Crash Team Racing was announced. I'm a little hypocritical on that. But so I don't know. Are you thinking of getting it? You kind of got excited over some of those.
And I'm not a Sega Genesis fan. Mike is, and it's definitely going to be a day one. We've already day one the NES Mini Classic. We day one the SNES Mini Classic.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't day one the PlayStation Classic. I actually got it when it went down to $60, but now I hear that it's down to $40. And
holy. I should get it now.
Oh, PlayStation.
They've tried so hard. Rose so high and fell down. And then rose so high and fell down.
Yeah. But Sega Genesis Mini Classic is most likely going to be a day one purchase.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, $80 for that many games means not bad.
Lloyd in chat says he'll wait until the PlayStation Classic is $20.
Well, as long as they don't pull what, like, Nintendo, like, because the problem is, like, Nintendo, when they did the NES and SNES and stuff, you had to get it day one.
No!
Because otherwise, there was none left, and then scalpers got it.
Sorry, I'm saying no because you're calling this the SNES SNES like Joe.
Sorry.
No.
I've heard other people do it before, Joe. So.
Ew.
SNES and NES, sorry.
No, it's SNES.
But what I just mean is that you kind of had to get those day one because otherwise you weren't going to get them. Like, they weren't going to go down in price. They just didn't have any more because Nintendo likes to do false scarcity. It drives me up the wall.
Yeah.
So you had to get a day one. Otherwise, you were going to get them. You couldn't get them for over $100 for scalpers.
Yeah. So I kind of wonder if the Sega Genesis Mini is actually going to be limited or they're going to have a lot. So
we'll see.
We'll see. If you haven't heard of Shirley Curly, You should check her out. She's awesome. She is a YouTuber. She does love to play Skyrim. She's easy to find on YouTube. Just search Skyrim Grandma or Shirley Curly the Older Gamer. That's right. She's an 82-year-old grandmother. And last I checked, she had almost 500,000 subscribers on YouTube. So fans of Skyrim Grandma started a petition for Bethesda to add her to Elder Scrolls. And Bethesda took notice. And they are going to be making her as an NPC in Elder Scrolls 6.
This is such a fun story. I'm so happy. It's like a warm, fuzzy story. Well, Shirley Curly, I did watch a bit of her stuff years ago. She's hysterical because she's just a very quiet gamer. Like, if you didn't know any better, you would think she was just kind of some serious game bro who's just giving you tips. Like, she's just like, okay, you know, I'm a Khajiit warrior and I'm gonna go and I'm just gonna slice him in half, I think, and I'm gonna keep going. He's just so, like, chill.
That is so cute. I wish my grandmothers did that, but then they're not.
Yes.
But
Carlotta in the chat says, I want to grow up to be like Shirley. Me too. I do so bad. She's so cool. She's pretty funny. They're just calming. They're not like, oh, she's not like a, you know, very funny kind of person. She's just very calm and just very, murder ASMR by gamer grandma. Exactly, Lloyd says in the chat. Exactly. It's just, she's just really fun. And I'm so happy this is happening just because it's adorable. And I can't wait to see. Although I also just can't wait for Elder Scrolls 6.
Right.
So besides the point.
Anyway, besides Elder Scrolls 6, we do have some news on that later on. But coming up later, the debate of women in gaming panels versus women on gaming panels at conventions. And speaking of conventions, next up, we are going to cover the games and announcements at PAX East, as well as a couple announcements from WonderCon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
So this past weekend, PAX East occurred at Boston, Massachusetts, and boy, me and Sarah are very, very jealous of Robbie and Norris because they got to go to PAX East, and that was why we were not live on Friday.
Exactly. They kicked us out.
Yeah. Again, we do live stream our show at twitch.tv/checkpointxp every Friday at 4 p.m. So they kicked us out. They went to PAX. So we're here on actually Sunday recording this. A lot of things went down at PAX East, though. Number one thing for me was, of course, the Gearbox panel, where they finally did announce Borderlands 3.
Yay!
So excited. We did find out that it is not going to be a Battle Royale game. Thank goodness. It is not going to be...
breathe a sigh of relief.
Right. Everyone in the crowd, they did breathe a sigh of relief. It is not going to be a mobile port. Thank goodness on that one, too. They announced first that they were going to do a remastered version of Borderlands 1 and Borderlands 2 and the pre-sequel. So that will be updated, I think, April 3rd. And then they announced the Borderlands 3, which has over a billion guns, guns with legs, new siren. So I'm totally stoked for this. Have you played a Borderlands game? I think you did say.
I have not. I've been wanting to. The Borderlands 1 and 2 were super cheap on Steam once, and so I did get them, although now I'm kind of regretting it because now they have the remastered version. But that's okay. I haven't had a chance to. I've always been really, I love cel-shaded art styles. It's kind of one of my favorite, cliche in art styles in gaming. And so I do enjoy that aspect of it. I have not actually played it myself, though.
Since there is a remastered one, we should play. Just to get you through the stories.
True enough.
Hey, we need a cookie in Sarah's stream on Checkpoint XP.
That's fair.
Domified and the Twitch chat says it's not going to be a battle royale yet. I think they learned that with Battleborn, that they're not going to do anything like that. Something else that came up in PAX East, of course, Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night. I thought this game was already out. It was a game started up by Kickstarter, and it has the original creator of Castlevania on this. So I thought this was actually was already out. Obviously, it's not. So hopefully it comes out soon. I didn't see a release date. Streets of Rage 4 had actual gameplay, and Norris was ecstatic for this one. And I can see why, because when I was watching the teaser gameplay, I'm like, wow. Have you played the original Streets of Rage game?
I did not get into
that. Oh my gosh, Sarah.
I know. Listen. I think my cousin, like, because there was a lot of games, like, when I was really, really little, I could watch, but I didn't really play because I was, like, 6. My mom said I could watch it, but I couldn't play it. I think because it does look familiar to me, but I know I did not physically play it myself.
It was out on arcades.
I'm pretty sure I saw somebody do it, though.
Yeah, it's definitely out on arcade, so if you do see it on arcade, go jump on it and spend a quarter or two. They also had Layers of Fear 2. I don't play horror games, but I love to watch people play horror games.
Yeah.
So watching the first one, I'm excited to watch the second one.
Exactly. Yeah, or be forced to play it is what happens often with me. It's funny because I thought Layers of Fear, I thought there already was a 2, but I guess I made that up in my head. I'm not super familiar with the series, I will admit, but I thought Layers of Fear was a pretty older game, but I might be misremembering.
Layers of Fear came out probably 2-3 years ago, and
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm confusing it with a different game.
Yeah, I think Markiplier played the beta of it. If that's what you've seen.
That's why. Maybe. That might be it.
Yeah. Yeah. So then they also have Dauntless, which is basically a Monster Hunter game, Monster Hunter-like game. And then they have another game coming out of Shovel Knight. Have you played Shovel Knight?
I tried it a little bit, and I haven't actually finished it, though. Those games are hard for me.
Oh, no!
I mean, it wasn't my copy, so.
Yeah, I actually haven't finished it, but it's a fun game to play, which is to pick up, so I'm excited for that. Did you see any games at PAX East that you want to see?
So, for me, like, I'm always interested in kind of the, I don't want to say indie, or just kind of the smaller stuff that's like, just new. I'm like, things. And so one game that just kind of caught my eye, I don't know if I'm going to get it. It just sounds interesting, but it's called Alt Frequencies. Mm-hmm. The company called Accidental Queens. I haven't seen their other stuff, but they did some mobile, like, narrative-driven games called A Normal Lost Phone and Another Lost Phone, which I played a different game that was a mobile kind of storyline game that's not by them, but I've always thought they were super cool. And this one's just interesting because it's audio-based, and so you have to kind of go through radio stations.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and it also goes through, like, a time loop, which I'm kind of into the timey-wimey storyline stuff, no matter how much they're overused. So you have to kind of listen to, like, different radio hosts, conspiracy theorists, news reporters. You kind of intercept, like, hidden messages, and you kind of have to try to get clues and stuff like that. I've always been super into these kinds of games. So, like, for instance, oh, no, the name escapes me. There's a game that was made by the people who I think did Silent Hill. And what it was is you basically were just sitting there using search cues to listen to audio and video snippets of someone talking.
Oh,
and you
that had to sounds kind of familiar.
Her story. That's what it's called. Her story. It's, and so, like, it's just a kind, there's no real gameplay. You're just using search keys and entries to just kind of figure out this overarching story. And, but I'm really into those kinds of games. Like, they're super cool to experience. And so, I don't know if I'll get this or not. I'm probably going to wait in here, but it's definitely, like, up my alley. So I'm kind of have my eye on it.
Nice. Is it out now, this indie game? Alt Frequencies?
It is. It's no, to be decided, but it's going to be, so it's going to be only on PC or mobile. So it's going to be one of those more kind of games. I'll probably play it on PC instead. But yeah, it's still kind of, still not sure. So unfortunately with any indie company that has really big ideas that say to be decided, it could be years. That's the problem. You just don't know what's going to happen. And then another game that kind of caught my eye, I am trying to make sure I have the right name for it so that I'm not just speaking out of my... Okay, here we go. Liberated. It's kind of another... I don't know if they're indie or not, but they're by Atomic Wolf. Release date is to be decided in 2019. But I just thought it was cool because it has an art style that's like graphic novels of the 80s of like noir themes. So it's kind of got this, it's just got a really cool like look to it. you're kind of like, each scene is kind of like reading a page out of a book or of a graphic novel, and it's like all mystery and noir theme. So again, this one's going to come out though on the PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. So that might be kind of cool. So I'm going to wait and see, but it just caught my eye. I just, aesthetic wise, it spoke to me.
Yeah. After hearing all the games that you're choosing, I do feel that Nancy Drew mystery crime scene kind of thing going on with you.
I'm so predictable.
It's cute. At least you know what you like.
I do.
Lloyd in the chat at twitch.tv/checkpointxp says Risk of Rain 2. I haven't played Risk of Rain, so you have an extra code.
I can't speak on it.
Yeah. So also what happened this last weekend was WonderCon. I have to give a shout out to the WonderCon workers and volunteers because I actually used to work for WonderCon and I was jelly and I miss you guys. So shout out to you guys. We do have a couple announcements that came out from WonderCon. I know it's not gaming, but you know, comics, pop culture. We're all about that. Mm-hmm. Mark Hamill, the Luke Skywalker, the Joker. Yes. He actually announced that he's going to be the voice of that freaky little evil doll named Chucky. So I did not know there was going to be a remake of Child's Play coming out this summer. Did you?
I had no clue. I never really got into those movies. I would not get into those movies. And that is terrifying.
Yeah. So I, even especially with CGI and special effects even more enhanced today, I don't know if I could watch it.
Yeah. I didn't even watch the remake of it, so.
Really? Yeah, it kind of freaked me out.
The only recent scary movie I was willing to watch, oh my gosh, what was it? Sorry, I had a crash course when I started dating Joe about like all the slasher films, and I get them all mixed up. It was a recent remake that just came out about, what's the name of it?
Michael Myers?
I think it was Michael Myers, yeah. The recent, whatever that Halloween? Slasher film. Halloween. I saw that one. I got through it though. It was fine.
It's not a remake. It's actually a continuing sequel.
It's a new one. It's set in the timeline. But yeah.
It wasn't as much scary as before, but
yeah, it was. I got through it.
Another thing that came out was more footage of Dark Phoenix, you know, that movie by Fox. Yes. And we have Sophie Turner as Jean Grey as the Dark Phoenix. They put out, you know, 10 minutes of footage. Of course, it's not out there, but reading about it, they say that it's actually going to be more, you know, it's their first main title female character from Fox, right?
Yeah, kind of. It's a little nerve-wracking. Exactly of the best.
It's Fox, that's why.
Record with X-Men movies. I mean, it's great. I get to see Sansa Stark go crazy, so that's fun. That's the actress.
Right.
But I don't know. It's like, I think the hardest part is they did this story already. They tried to do it already. So, like, this is kind of, I don't know. I'm just nervous.
Yeah.
It is true. I guess it is kind of one of their first films. It's really, like, as far as comic book films, it's really female leading. But it's also very much another one of those, like, I'm evil and dark and I hate my powers kind of story, which I'm a little sick of with female characters, but that's okay.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. She looks so different in blonde. Sansa Stark, I mean. I'm like, I'm used to her in red hair.
Yeah, I know. It is very strange.
Yeah. Omega Walton on chat says, yeah, they already did that for X-Men 2 and Phoenix deserves better. So, yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. I'm not very excited. Will admit, just because, again, they kind of did it already, and it just seems like they're just kind of trying to redo mistakes, and it's like, just do something new.
Yeah. Also, at WonderCon, they celebrated Batman's 80th anniversary, which is pretty awesome. Kevin Conroy, if you know Kevin Conroy, he did the voice of Batman. I guess it was his birthday as well, so they came out with a big three-tier Batman cake, so that was cute.
That's awesome. Oh, that's so cool.
So shout out to Batman. That's one of my favorite superheroes in the DC universe.
Which person doesn't think Batman is cool? Like, seriously, it's hard to not.
Yeah, that's true. He has money and he can fight. And has all the technology.
He's also kind of rich, so that helps too.
Exactly. What announcement at PAX East or WonderCon were you most excited for? Let us know on social media at CheckpointXP at Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP at Instagram.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
So today's topic actually comes from Twitter. Yeah, I know, Twitter. It can be both good and bad. I do get some of the news from Twitter. It actually just pops up. It's kind of like breaking news. But at least it's not like Reddit or 4chan.
Oh, 4chan, no!
But in this case, we actually got a discussion from a tweet. It was actually a retweet that I got from Nate. It showed up on my timeline, so thanks, Nate. So the tweet goes, how about we stop having women in gaming panels and just start having women on gaming panels? Just a thought. She goes on saying in a second tweet, it's a bummer to have been in this industry for so long, and the only time I see most women to be asked to speak on panels is so we can reiterate the same tired story we've all heard to the people who aren't actually the problem. What do you think of this?
So I have to say that, like, so I agree with her completely, because it is true, you know, in the beginning, I think having panels as far as like that being a panel or women in gaming as being a panel was necessary because no one was really knowing about it. And I think I think nowadays it still has its place as a sort of, if I can say, safe space kind of area.
Right.
Where it's like you have, because let's think about it. Who's going to go to that panel? You have a panel, you're going to a convention, and you have a panel called Women in Gaming. It's a panel about women in gaming. the people who are going to that panel are not going to be the people who really need to hear this the most, as in, like, the people who are causing the problem, so to speak. The people who are going to it are other frustrated women or curious women. And maybe other men who are kind of already knowing that this is a problem and interested to hear more. But, like, you know, it's not anonymous, so you're not going to necessarily have the trolls there.
Right, exactly.
Go online and say something, not to your face. So I think in the beginning, and I think it still has its place, it's kind of that safe space for that, you know, explanation of, hey, I'm a woman who's interested in gaming, but I'm kind of scared. Tell me what it's all about. Tell me what, you know, what we can do, blah, blah, blah. But I think nowadays, like, it still has its place, but we need to go beyond that. You know, I don't think a company can do its little checkbox of, like, hey, we had a women in gaming panel that we sent in, so we're all set. No, put us on the gaming panel.
Right.
You know, put us on the actual main, like, don't just have, I'm just throwing Borderlands as an example, don't give me a panel of women in Borderlands, put the women on the Borderlands panel.
Yeah, so exactly, this last, you know, with PAX East, the Borderlands panel went through, or Gearbox panel went through, they did not say, you know, here's our women in development. They introduced a group of developers, and half of them were actually women. So I think it really does depend on the developers if and when they want to introduce their women developers. So again, I agree with the tweet, but I kind of disagree because we're not at that point yet. We do need that recognition, women in gaming, because there's still not that many who are out there who want to promote themselves. So I do believe that, you know, the women in gaming with Microsoft, it's great. It's a good starting point for us to be recognized that, hey, there are women who actually are in gaming development. Let's recognize these people. And then again, there's that other side. It depends on the developer. Hey, this is who we have in our development team. They are women, but we're not like saying, boom, here they are. They're women.
Right.
They're actually
exactly.
working on our game.
Yeah, I think, it does really depend. And especially if you have a company where, like, most of your higher-ups are men, I think you need to do some, you know, I think you do need to kind of show that promotion because, unfortunately, you know, things don't happen in a vacuum, you know. Everyone's got different experiences, and unfortunately, they're pretty stark differences along the gender lines. So it's, you can't just say, like, well, you know, women are invited here. It's like, well, no, but what are you doing? You know, what's your company looking like?
Yeah.
Are women really actually invited to it? You know, are they actually really safe there even? You know, if you have a company that says, yeah, we'll hire women, and then but you have so much of your, so many issues of some sexual harassment and stuff like that. Well, no, it's not a safe place. You know, I'm just using that as an example to show that we're not really there yet. So, I agree with you, you know, I think we need to start doing it more, but
right.
I don't think that is to say that women in gaming panels don't need to stop altogether.
Exactly.
I think it's definitely, if you keep having it for year after year as a checkbox, then something needs to be done.
Yeah.
You're just doing that because it's safe for you to kind of put that in the box somewhere.
Yeah. We have a couple of comments in the chat, twitch.tv/checkpoint. Selfane says, I know we aren't there yet, but I just wish it was at a point that it was so common that it's not even noteworthy. But unfortunately, we still need to push the issue to get it up to the point, which is exactly mm-hmm. what we're saying. We do still need that kind of recognition until we get to that point. Hey, this is common. There's always women in gaming. Yep. Omega Waltall also in the chat says, yeah, it's almost patronizing, like they're just trying to get diversity points, like saying, hey, we have a woman and a black person on the panel. See, buy our stuff. And yeah, that sounds actually really bad if you think about it.
Yeah, I think I actually had this discussion with the idea of patronizing or just the idea of, you know, when a company, and this is, I'm kind of back going somewhere else with this, but like whenever, you know, when someone from Overwatch comes out with a character and they say, oh, this character's gay. And you've got some people, I think well-intended people that see it as like, oh, they're just trying to, you know, advertise it so more people will buy. But it's like, when is it, are they saying it? Where's that line between like, they have chosen to make this character gay and they are expressing that so people know and so it's become more normalized? And when is it, I guess, yes, being used as patronizing? And I think for me, the problem is that as someone who, you know, takes on a lot of different minority identities, mm-hmm. such as female, such as LGBT and stuff like that.
Right.
At this point, I'm like, I'm just glad we get any exposure at all so that we kind of demolish what's seen as normal, you know,
right.
Demolish the kind of idea that white male, straight is all normal and just demolish that idea. So it's hard to say, but I think definitely exposure is needed still.
Yes, definitely. So I know like Riot Games is actually trying to work that out. We did report earlier about their summer camp with girls in esports, so that's awesome. But they do have a good backing, because with UCI being there, the esports coordinator is actually a woman, Kathy Chang. I've actually spoke with her. She's very passionate about what she does in esports. She knows esports, so that's why I understand that, hey, Riot Games is actually being genuine in, you know, sort of showing, hey, we do accept women, we do accept girls in gaming. So
yeah, I want it to be that someday whenever we have a woman who enters any kind of gaming or esports field, she doesn't need to be taken aside by another woman going, here's how you play in the man's world.
Yeah,
I don't want that to be a thing anymore, and no, we're not there yet. Yeah. So until we basically can make it that a girl doesn't have to learn to play by, you know, these kind of male rules, we're just not there yet. We got to get that exposure.
Exactly. What do you think of the thought of women on gaming panels versus women in gaming panels? Connect with us on social media at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. I think that's it for today. Thank you so much for joining us at Not Your Player 2 podcast. Our regular live stream and recording is every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Remember to join us for the discussion. You can find us on bpodstudios.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcast, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Leave us a review. We'll definitely read it on the show. CheckpointXP.com is where you can find more information, news, interviews, and other shows, including our national syndicated flagship radio show, Checkpoint XP, as well as the other podcasts such as Checkpoint Daily Show, Checkpoint On Demand Podcast, and Low Team Damage, our anything and everything podcast about Overwatch and Overwatch League. Thank you again so much for joining us here at Not Your Player 2, and we're signing off.
Bye-bye.